T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
Earlier today, as we saw, we've been talking about it on the show. Memphis basketball has been picked to finish second in the AAC preseason poll.
Cue the outrage!
Which means that Houston, much like Squid Game, massively overrated. Once again.
Now that's a take.
Once again, Houston. And again, part of me does feel like Memphis got disrespected. To the extent that preseason polls matter. They don't. Nobody thinks about preseason polls at the end of the season. The only poll that matters.
Houston went to the Final Four. Memphis won the NIT.
Right. But, but Houston lost two huge parts of that Final Four roster.
But clearly, it's the, remember who's voting here? The coaches. And they're giving the tip of the cap to old Kelvin Sampson well-coaching self.
I can defend that. I don't have a problem with coaches giving Kelvin Sampson the benefit of the doubt.
That's the difference here because of the vote overall, 92 points.
But see, I also think Penny is being penalized for that 2019 year.
What?
Where all that stuff was really, I mean, the season got derailed before it started, right? Like, I think there are probably coaches who are saying, oh, we've seen what Penny does when he gets number one recruited in classes. They finish fifth. But if you look deeper and you examine that situation.
Oh, they know that.
I mean, that was an extenuating circumstance that they lost their best piece 3 games into the year.
I think they figured out Penny can coach. And that's what we were talking about with Kelvin Sampson there in the first hour. He's clearly won. Penny has won the coaches across the country, but clearly Kelvin Sampson in how he coaches defensively. And I think it starts there. You know, it's one thing, and that's basically what Kelvin was telling you when Penny came in the league. Yeah, it's nice to have talent, but you got to go out there and coach it. Mm-hmm. And then you see him for the last 2 years be top 5 in defensive efficiency, number 1 last year. And okay, let's break that down. He's doing it with elite level athletes, like with 4 and 5 star guys. And so we've continued to make the point that on this coaching thing, when you can get that level of player. And most of those 4 and 5 stars, remember, a lot of those guys not going to be guys who were the best defensive player on their high school teams. Those guys are going to be the scorers, the guys right. who were asked there to go out there and look. So they're coming here where you're asking them to go breakneck speed on defense, come out here, exert everything you've got on that end, and that ain't the easiest thing to do, to get stars to buy into that. It shows your ability to relate to guys to get them to buy in what they've done defensively. Back to the point. That's one guy's over like Kelvin Sampson. So I don't think it's as much that Penny can't coach, give all the votes to Kelvin Sampson. Because Penny, I think, has proven he can. Mm-hmm. It's like I said with Giannotto. It's the small things now that are holding them back, getting the turnover thing corrected, which, as you point out, they basically did there at the end of the season. Look, you're going to commit 12 to 14 because of the pace you play. It's staying away from the 18 to 20 to 22 turnover games where you're literally giving Tulsa it's their best offense.
Yep.
It's not being that. That was 2 losses to Tulsa last year. Cleaning that up, and then you're the team that you want to be because you figure, like, the talent's going to overwhelm in all the other categories. And so once he's got that, that's when he's making the tournament runs and the deep ones. But right now, I think what he already has is these coaches in the AAC's respect. I think all this is a nod to, much like it is with Tyson Etienne. You saw that based on the season he had last year. They were regular season champs. Well, you're coming back as the preseason player of the year. That's a respect and a nod to what they did last year and what Tyson did, right? That, it's the same thing with in this case, Kelvin Sampson. You made the Final Four. You always seem to have less talent than Memphis, it feels like,
yep.
And yet you're always there at the end. Here's the tip of the cap to you. And I would tell you that rather than being, all of a sudden this is disrespect, that it's the perfect thing for a Memphis team that, you know, might have been feeling itself a little bit, you know, going into things, and may still be your top 10, first time since 07-08, we feel like. Not officially, but you got to figure that's where it's going to be in the preseason rankings. So all this is going to do is be, you know, motivation for a team that might have gone in with a little bit of a big hit anyway, thinking, well, everybody's got us picked to beat Houston. Well, no, they don't. The coaches in the league say, oh, Houston's going to win the division.
Right.
The league.
No, which, again, I understand the logic, but then you sort of look further. All right, well, how did the first, second team break down? Well, Memphis got
Two
first-teamers, Landers and Jalen on the first team. Right. And then you got DeAndre Williams and Imani. And I can easily see a world where Lester is a second-teamer by the end of the season. So I think – and I could easily make a case that DeAndre should have gotten consideration for the first team.
Yes.
In the American. So we're
I could have made a case those two deserve to be on the first team, him and Landers, because of what you were tipping caps to what you've done, and that the two freshmen could have been on the second team, as opposed to separating sort of Jalen and Imani this way. That's the way I would have done it.
Yeah. So I understand the coaching piece of it. Like you're going to just Kelvin, and it is, look, Kelvin, it's remarkable what he's done at Houston, because he's had turnover for basically 4 years now. These are not all guys that have been in his program, you know, for 3 to 4 years. I mean, he's been sort of shuffling and cycling through guys. Like we talked about Rob Gray. He was a monster for them 3 years ago. He moves on. Well, then he's got Corey Davis Jr., right? Corey Davis Jr. was a beast for him. He moves on. Then he's got Caleb Mills, and he leaves mid-year last year, goes out same year, adds Quentin Grimes, who comes in and is awesome, and now he's losing both him and Dejon Giroux. And through all that turnover, through all that shuffling, he has managed to keep Houston not just competitive, but, I mean, Final Four appearance last season. I mean, that's as good of a job to me as anybody has done in college basketball.
He maximizes what he has.
He does.
Nobody does a better job of maximizing what they have in college basketball, period, than Kelvin Sampson. Like we said, it's not even a matter of, I mean, only one of those guys that you named, if I recall correctly, was a first-round draft pick. Like, was Rob even drafted? I know he, like, led the conference in scoring,
so.
But I don't think Gray got drafted, right? Grimes, the only first-round pick you had in the bunch. I mean, what they do best is basically be tough.
He's undrafted.
That's what I thought, and outwork you. And then defensively double your bigs, and he's done that year after year after year, take them out of games and force your guards to shoot the ball well. And basically you're not going to out-tough us, you're not going to beat us on the boards. And that's basically that's a mental approach, frankly. That's what they hang their hat on, is out-toughing you. And yes, when you can constantly get that across year after year with the turnover you've had, it's an impressive job. I think Kelvin Sampson does. You know, if he should be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's that good at what he does, and just Hall of Fame alone, and maximizing the talent that he gets, because he doesn't. You know, again, you're not looking at a deal where he's got year after year NBA level talent on that squad, and yet he's remained consistent, especially here these last few years. It's not going to be a good thing for Memphis when Houston, and if Kelvin Sampson's still there, go buy to the Big 12. You're going to hate the day that he's not getting first place votes when they're not in it. You know. Hoping that, hey, man, call us over to the Big 12, too.
Yeah,
you're going to wish he was in it then.
Yeah, no, that's definitely
true. By the
time
they're going to the Big 12.
Because then you're, you know.
Oh, man.
Memphis's win total this season is 31, right? And it's like it's a special season. Well, Houston, UCF, Cincinnati, those teams leave.
Oh.
Your win total is basically going to be 31 every year moving forward. And that might feel like a good thing. Like it actually isn't, because
where are the quad one opportunities going to come from in your
that's
league?
That's exactly right.
Everything's going to matter. Your conference portion of your schedule is going to matter so much, to the point where literally like the fifth and sixth game that you play,
well, and your margin
going to end
error,
up being
man.
More important to you than the conference thing, unless you to John's point, you lose. You have nothing, but that's the only thing. You don't stand to gain anything. They're going to expect you to go undefeated basically in your conference. The only thing you can do is lose. And so everything will be, well, Memphis has got to be so good early on, because that conference portion is where they're going to get their best games, the games that will matter the most to a selection committee when it comes to seeding. And so, yeah, it's going to be awful when they leave. So, I mean, like I said, kind of embrace the days that we've still got Kelvin Sampson and Houston in this league to help it have, you know, the respect that it does now, because pretty soon it's going to look a little ugly and we're all wishing we were somewhere else.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely that's the other end of
Cincy
the
too. You're losing a Brandon Cincy.
It feels like
West, so worried about UCF. They've been trying for a while.
Yeah, Wes Miller seems to be doing a good job. He seems to be doing some good
things.
I think
he's gonna be fine there. They won't be what they were with Cronin and Huggins, but I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. And so the win total we were talking about earlier, over at WinBet, the only place that I have seen is WinBet so far. I'm sure they will come out. You know, I got a tweet from somebody, because I did say that I plan on placing a futures bet comfortably, confidently on Memphis winning the AAC. I did see somebody tweet me back and say, you're not going to get good value on that because Vegas will have Memphis as the AAC favorite. And it appears as though that will be true, even though these dumb coaches will not. Memphis's win total is 31. Houston's, by comparison, is 27.
Yeah,
totally. Now, this includes postseason. But to me, it's just such a high bar. Because even if we all acknowledge that 27-4 is kind of how we feel about, you know, the Memphis season.
If it ends up being 31 regular seasons.
Got to have 31 games, right? You got to have 31 games. And then you have to win your conference tournament. And then you have to get to the Sweet 16. If you, for whatever reason, you know, because it is college basketball. As much as we look at this roster and say they should be 27-4, 28-3. Like, look, there is going to be a Tuesday night game on the road where Memphis just doesn't bring it.
No.
It will. It'll happen.
Against who?
I don't know who it'll be against, man, but it will
There's
happen.
There's only a few. You're talking about non-conference.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss on the road, Georgia on the road. I mean, you're not going to win every single one of those, right? I mean, there's a possibility of it's a toe stubbing. Like, you just trip. You know, you trip over your own feet. You know, like, that's just kind of how I look at it. And so they're not going to, I just have a hard time.
So you're saying two losses in conference, two in non-con.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's definitely on the table. You have to say that's on the table. And then if you just, all you're talking about from there is one more game somewhere.
Who did you lose to in conference?
You could say
I'm trying to see if with this four, if you can be a two seed.
You could lose to
lose
to Houston and at Wichita State. And then you could split Alabama, Tennessee.
So I lost the two road games there. I lost at Houston. I lost at Wichita State.
And then
then I lost one of Alabama or Tennessee.
And then you split Georgia, Ole Miss, you know, on both road games. Could easily happen. I mean, it's a basketball game, right? You're on the road. It's college. You know, it's not like they're not going to be this well-oiled machine that just destroys everybody by 30 points. I am as high on this roster as anybody else, but, like, there will be – there has to be growing pains, right? There has to be.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a two seed.
Probably a three.
What you just called out.
If they're 27.
Splitting the Alabama and then losing to a Georgia or an Ole Miss.
Don't you feel like that is going
to
be
– I mean, DeJuan and them lost to Ole Miss that year. They were ranked, went down there and lost. This ain't DeJuan's team. This ain't 0-1-0-2. This is top 10 preseason.
Would you bet on 28-3 or 27-4? What would you bet on? Which one would you
– 28-3.
You would bet on 28-3, not 27-4?
Assuming again that they're going to add this one other game to the non-conference schedule, because that will be big in determining whether or not they're going to win 31 for the season, any of this, whether they add that other bye game. But yeah, I go 28.
Well, the thing about 31 though, including the postseason,
because they could easily lose just one game in conference.
If it's not a super formidable schedule. I will grant you that. Like, beyond the Alabama and Tennessee games, like, there is some dog in there for sure. But if you even go 26-5. Right. If you even go 26-5, which to me is still a great mark, the best record this program has seen since 2012-13, right? Well, I guess maybe the Four Kings year, 13-14. You still have to win your conference tournament to get you to 29. That's three games. Then you have to win your first two games to just push. So you basically have to get to the Elite Eight to win the bet of over 31.
That's on a 26 win season.
Right. I mean, if you're
going to be better than 26,
if you're going to bet it,
remember, this ain't just a bunch of 17-year-olds running out there and you're saying,
no, you're right.
Like you got DeAndre.
But there are two 17-year-olds.
Four dudes on the, if that's nothing, look at that indication. Four dudes on the two first and second.
If you are
even
going,
the coaches couldn't deny the talent.
If you are going to bet it, I think you probably do have
they're
to bet the over.
Run the AAC. And anything less really is uncivilized.
Uncivilized.
That's an Old Spice commercial, I believe, the old Charles Barkley one. Wasn't that Old Spice? It was some old deodorant commercial.
I think you got it.
Yeah. So what? How many games of the AAC again? 18?
Always 18. Now that we're back to normal.
17-1, that's what you over here saying?
Houston.
Okay, 17-1.
Like I said, I think Wichita State will be tougher than the at Georgia or the at Ole Miss, I'll be honest with you. And so it makes it losable, and it's early in the schedule. But come on, man, this thing goes 17-1 easy. If not, it could do the, you know, right now it's 12 games a non-con. We figure you're going to get to 13 with another bye game, but right now you could easily see them going.
See, like my thing is this:
11-1 in the non-con.
My thing is they can be 26-5. They can lose 5 games in the regular season, and I still feel really, really good about them once they get into the tournament. Right? Like, it's not like they're not.
My whole thing is fine. That's fine. They're going to get to the tournament. They're going to do well once they get there. My thing is, this feels like a year that you can be a top 2 seed. And so you need not waste that opportunity, right? Because you're not going to have, but we talked about this, you're only going to have Jalen Duren for one season. You know, we'll see. There's a good chance you're only going to have Imani for one, even though he's got to kill 2 before the draft. And so it's cash in. Get the seeding matters to me, guys, because I'm not one of these guys. You go in with a 6 and I'll just let the chips fall where they may. It's right. The tournament. No, the best route is to be the highest seed. We've seen Memphis be a 6, and you mess around and get Michigan State or whoever it is in the next round. You don't want that. You want to be a 2. And so the point is maximize
right.
What you can do in this one year where you've got what feels like a perfect storm. And make the deepest run that you can.
I just feel
don't
like
just get back and blow the doors off.
I feel like
the
Memphis
thing.
Going 26-5 in a regular season and
I mean, it sounds great, I know, but it feels like you can be more in this year
saying,
with
like,
this schedule.
Doing that and then making a Final Four run, those two things are not mutually exclusive. Like, they can still happen.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, and so that's what if we're talking about going over 31, that's where I'm just like, you know, I'm bullish on this team. I'm bullish on what they can achieve. I'm bullish on a deep run. I think they have all the ingredients to do that. But, you know, in terms of win total, like I'm less interested in that piece of it. I don't care how many games they win in the regular season. I'm more focused on, all right, once you get to the tournament, you need to be a 2, 3, or 4. I think top 4 seed is a must.
With
right?
with where you are yes. going to be ranked to yes. start the year,
gotta
top
be 2, 3, 10, or 4.
Mm-hmm. I would say 4 is a disappointment because you've gone backwards, John.
Yeah.
You started the year top 10. We all
figured. I mean, you're getting a little greedy over there, dude. They haven't been in the tournament since
greedy.
I was 15
years
old.
It's not just about – Penny knows it's not just about getting to the tournament. Like, he knows that he doesn't need to say, hey, we want all the smoke and go win a championship now. But he realizes that this isn't just a year where you want to get back and that's okay. Oh, you've ended the drought. Give me a break. You went and you got 2 guys in August who absolutely changed the game for you. Mm-hmm. Made you the biggest story in college basketball. Like, it's time to get a 2 or a 3 with
but
these
dudes.
But
they are. No,
it's not a 1.
Because
you got as much talent as anybody in the league. I know Gonzaga's low.
Gonzaga and Michigan are 1 seeds. Texas is a 1 seed. That leaves 1 spot, really. Like, I mean, it's going to be tough. Going to be tough to be a 1 seed in this particular year. Because you have to chalk up 2 for Gonzaga and Michigan. No questions asked.
I got no problem with that.
Those two teams are going to be 1 seeds. Okay, well then you're in that group with, you know, Texas,
and you
Purdue.
You know what you have? Like I get it. It's still Memphis. They won the NIT last year. But you know what those teams don't have is 2 guys who are going to go top 5 in the next 2 drafts. Like that's what you have. Then why you need to maximize it? Because those other teams don't have that. Mm-hmm. Not to mention you finally got what you want on that coaching staff. You've wanted it since day 1 with Larry Brown.
UCLA's right? and UCLA's so, a 1 seed, bro. You could, Johnny Juzang, they're going to get a 1 seed. I feel like 1s are kind of spoken for.
You could throw no, you can't sit up here and say, well, Lenardi's got them a 2, that there's no way possible they can get a 1. This team with this talent can get a 1.
It's gonna be tough.
But we're also talking about who are one-offs possibly on this team with the individual talent. I mean, Larry, you don't know that you're going to have him 2 years.
Right.
You know,
no,
you,
I very
you,
much
you need
agree.
To cash in. This is not just a
–
it's okay to get back. We can't move the goalposts.
I'm not trying to do that. I'm saying I'm really more focused on the win total. Like, I could see a world where they are 26-5, and, you know, that's probably a 3 seed. And then you're going to have to get ahead.
Yeah, I'll take a 3. I think 4 is getting a little low.
What was Houston last year, 2?
No, yes, a 2.
They were 2.
Yeah.
And then
they caught some breaks.
The year before that, I believe they were a three.
But we said we liked Memphis's non-conference schedule better than Houston's last year.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Because, well, nobody had a non-conference schedule last year because of COVID. So, yes, you automatically.
The opportunities are better for you
Memphis
is my
has
point
a chance,
for
yes.
Memphis
yeah.
this year.
Memphis
than
will be rewarded because they played a neutral site game against Tennessee. They played a road game against Ole Miss. They played a road game
now,
against
Now, you got to run your conference to do that, to get to where, you know, you can't have a 3-4 loss conference record. You gotta run the damn thing. You gotta be the best thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make it. You know, beat Houston, beat them handily. But I think this is the year you know, if you didn't get us 2 or 3 seed after where you've been ranked to start the year, remember you're gonna start top 10. Then, is it a failure? No, but it would be a disappointment that you didn't maximize what you had, and that's why we're talking about. That's what makes Kelvin Sampson such a great coach,
right?
Because it seems like he maximizes every time.
Yes,
it's time to maximize. Like that's why you got all this talent.
And so that is what, of course, Penny Hardaway is going to try to do. Again, 4 first and second teamers for this Memphis group today in the preseason AAC polls picked second. 3 first place votes. Houston got
8.
Are there only 11 first place votes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you can't vote for yourself, I think, unless that's changed. You can't vote for yourself.
Gotcha. Anyway, there you have it. That's all out there for the AAC. We'll come back. Matt Babcock was in Memphis last week checking out the Memphis Pro Day. Used to represent Chris Crawford and DJ Stephens. Used to be an agent in a former life. Now he's doing the basketball draft analyst thing. And so we'll get his thoughts on this Memphis roster, how he thinks it'll come together. Mm-hmm. You know, can they win the AAC? Does he see it? All that and more when we get back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
ESPN. Matt Babcock is a senior NBA draft analyst over at basketballnews.com. He was in town, like most of the basketball world was, for the University of Memphis Pro Day last week. He joins us now. Matt, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time.
Oh, not too much. Just gearing up for this season that's coming up, working on my schedule and just doing some back end work. But just getting excited.
So what, I guess, before we sort of get into the individual takeaways about this Memphis basketball roster, what were just your general thoughts on what you saw about the proceedings, the pro day, the coaching staff, just the entire scene there in Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a scene. I mean, the coaching staff alone is star-studded group there, and it's pretty cool to see, you know, Penny and Sheed and Larry Brown and my guy Cody Toppard on the floor. They got a good thing going, and you know, obviously the talent level is just through the roof. I mean, with Imani and Jalen, just, you know, those two guys alone, I mean, it was a really fruitful trip for me.
Do you think, after looking at the talent and that coaching staff, that this is a team we'll be talking about toward the end of the year being one of the contenders, the big ones in college basketball? I mean, you're talking about coming off an NIT, and so that's a pretty big shift, but is that sort of talent in there, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, the talent level is extremely high. I mean, I think their talent top to bottom can probably challenge anybody in the country. I mean, I think there are some questions. I mean, you know, guard play, you know, looks like they're going to do sort of like a point guard by committee type setup, which, you know, I mean, I think could work, but I kind of need to see it to believe it kind of deal. And, you know, I've watched Imani for years, and, you know, he does a lot of stuff on ball and can create and all that, and he's a good playmaker. You know, as a full-time point guard, I don't know. But, you know, I think if they could, you know, answer that question properly, I mean, sky's the limit.
You know, that is sort of the question about this team, is like the point guard play, because there is no one true answer. But in his role, you know, that he is going to have, which is basically just have the ball in his hands quite a bit and play make, from what you saw at Pro Day, does Amani look like he is ready for that?
I don't know. I still question it a little bit. I mean, I think he's going to be effective. I mean, he's just such a natural scorer, shooter, and playmaker. But I think there's a big difference between, you know, being able to make moves off the dribble and score off the dribble and being a full-time point guard and dealing with pressure and running a team. I don't know. Again, I got to see it to believe it fully. I think it can be done, but it's, you know, I don't think that's going to be an easy thing.
You know, there was a lot of blowback about his measurables, right? About Amani Bates' measurables there from the combine. What are people that you talk to in NBA circles, what are they saying about his measurables? And was there a sort of negative reaction across the NBA when they saw that?
I haven't talked to a whole lot of NBA people about the pro day specifically. I mean, we talked with, you know, I talked with the guys on my staff about it, and, you know, it's certainly not like a great thing of him having a negative wingspan. But let's not forget that the kid's 6'9", and, you know, he's going to be playing some point guard. Even though I don't see point guard being his position long term, he's still a big guy that's a, you know, guard forward, you know, multi-position type guy. And so just because his arms are, you know, shorter than what you would expect the guy at 6'9", he's still got a, you know, 6'7" wingspan for a guy that's going to be playing point guard. It's not like he's a small guy. I'm more concerned, you know, with his lack of weight and strength and overall athleticism than I am his wingspan. Yeah. But, you know, I think it got blown, you know, blown out of proportion a little bit in the media, you know, with his wingspan.
So a guy that doesn't have that strength question, even though I guess technically reclassified as well, is Jalen Duren. What did you think of what he saw, and what do you think we'll see of him in terms of what feels like I will obviously be 1 year in college basketball? Is he going to be dominant, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. I think his upside is an offensive weapon. That's what I'm going to be tracking closely. I mean, I think at the very least, he's going to be a physical force that's going to, you know, get a lot of dunks, rebounds, shot blocks. How much can he deliver outside of that, and, you know, how much can he, you know, sort of add on to his offensive arsenal? But yeah, he's going to be a really good college player, and I think he's going to be a really good pro too. And pretty much the opposite narrative, you know, compared to Amani. Physical tools are not his problem at all. The guy, with both of them being 17 years old, I mean, Jalen Duren is a 17-year-old. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody with that kind of physical profile at that stage.
What kind of a freshman season do you think is in store for Jalen? Like, if you just sort of had to put your finger on production and what, you know, Memphis fans could reasonably expect from him, you know, in terms of points, rebounds, blocks, like, what do you think is a fair mark for him?
I'd say my expectation would probably be something like 15, 10, and 2, you know, 2 blocks, something like that. I mean, I think guard play is probably going to affect things with him quite a bit too. I mean, where is he getting the ball? Is he getting set up properly? Those kind of things. But, I mean, just how physical he is, if he just plays hard, he's going to get a lot of easy buckets around the rim, get to the free throw line a lot. I am expecting a pretty productive year from him.
You know, he sort of is – there's this consensus, you know, in the 2022 draft. It's Chet, Paolo, and then maybe Jaden Hardy as the top three. And then there's a consensus perhaps that Jalen is right there at 4. But I worry a little bit because of the position and sort of, you know, what he does. What do you think he'll need to show this season in terms of his repertoire to lock himself in, you know, to the top 4 or even maybe better – in the end, like, what are people waiting to see from him?
You know, I mean, it's the common narrative these days that, you know, the big man is dead, and I don't necessarily agree with that statement. I think, you know how it's differed is, you know, I still think big men have value, but they, you know, we evaluate them differently. They need to show that they can move their feet and not, you know, get caught in space, because, you know, the NBA is such a spread out game now, and so I think defensively, you know, that's something that myself and other scouts are going to be watching closely. And again, if he's able to show that he's got at least some upside, you know, offensively outside of just being a, you know, a guy that could finish at the rim, I think those are two things that we'll all be kind of watching closely.
If he gets fully healthy, he's such an intriguing prospect, particularly because of his size. How do you think Earl Timberlake fits in, Matt? And what does he end up being? So much of it, they're saying that they've got to reconstruct the jumper because of this issue he's had with the shoulder. But I saw you were impressed by him, saw in the write-up. You know, what can he be for this Memphis team?
You know, Earl, as opposed to Imani and Jalen, I don't know as well. I mean, I'm not starting completely from scratch with him, but I'm still becoming more and more familiar with him. And, you know, that was my first time seeing him in person, and I was impressed. I mean, his physical profile is impressive. I mean, he's a big wing. I mean, kind of looks like a football player.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think his physicality, his toughness, you know, and versatility, I mean, stood out to me. He's sort of a point forward playmaker, which I think Memphis is going to be able to utilize a lot, not having a traditional point guard. You know, with him staying healthy and then, you know, hitting some outside shots at a decent rate, I think that's sort of the ticket for him.
Yeah, of course, talking to Matt Babcock. He was here in town last week for Memphis's Pro Day. Got a full write-up about the Pro Day over at basketballnews.com. In terms of other guys, right, we know about Jalen and Imani, and to an extent we know about Earl Timberlake as well. Was there anybody else that you saw that you thought, huh, maybe they'll be on the NBA radar in a year or two?
Yeah, I mean, Landers Nolley has been a guy we've followed since his freshman year at Virginia Tech, and you know, he's got good size, and you know, his strongest attribute is perhaps the most valuable. I mean, he can really shoot the ball with range. He's got a quick release. You know, it was nice to see. It seems like he's maturing as a player. You know, in the past, I've questioned his shot selection. It seems like he's kind of letting the game come to him a little bit more. And so he's a guy, I mean, if he had a big year, I could easily see him coming out and, you know, being a second-round pick. DeAndre Williams is another guy that we've liked in the past. I mean, he's, you know, he's older. I believe he's going to be like 25 years old on draft day. But I think he's a guy, again, if he has a good year, I mean, could be a fringe NBA player. And so those are, you know, pretty much the main guys as far as what we're watching closely with Memphis this year.
What about Minot? Because he was a guy, the freshman Josh Minot. He was a guy, you know, you look at him, and obviously the first thing that jumps out is the size and then the athleticism. What was your assessment of what you saw from Josh Minot?
You know, I think I had seen him at a high school event before, so I wasn't, you know, completely starting fresh with him. I mean, to me, you know, upside and intrigue are the words that come to mind with him. And, you know, with freshmen, it's always hard to determine, you know, what kind of role are they going to play, you know, how much production will they bring. But, I mean, he's a guy that we're definitely going to track, and it's just, you know, time will tell.
Yeah, we know, Matt, here that Kennedy Chandler, who's headed up to Tennessee, obviously expected to have a big-time freshman season, is an absolute dog. Like, it doesn't matter who he's going against, he brings it all the time. What's he going to have to do at Tennessee this year for you to stay? I think you've got him, what, 13 on your big board or right around there? What's he got to do? Because, let's be honest, you don't see many six-foot lottery picks in NBA draft. What's he got to do to sort of stay in that range, Matt? What's he got to show?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about him quite a bit, and, you know, a smaller guard like that is, you know, his lack of size is the big issue. So if he could show that the lack of size is not too big of an issue long-term, and, you know, his strengths kind of outweigh that big concern, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing with him. Outside shooting, too, which he's done a really good job of improving his outside shooting the last few years. But, yeah, I mean, he just needs to show that he's not a liability on the defensive end. He's not going to get, you know, caught in many problems being smaller. And then just, you know, shooting the ball at a high rate.
Hey, Matt, man, great stuff. Again, you can check out the piece at basketballnews.com. Thanks for the time,
as
always,
Matt.
Man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
Yep. He is Matt Babcock. Catch him on Twitter at Matt Babcock 11. Covers, of course, the NBA draft, was here in town. Again, it was very interesting. Like, I was obviously impressed, you know, majority by Jalen and to a lesser extent Imani, but Josh Minot was another guy who did catch my eye just because of his size, right? He's just such a big guy, and he's, you know, most kids his size are going to be, you're going to stick him in the post, four man, five man. Well, that's clearly not his game.
So that was
an interesting piece.
With all that size, and like we said, he stood out even with the big time talent over at the Iverson Classic out at Bartlett, when you had Paolo and those guys were here for. Didn't they have Chet and Paolo in that one?
Yes.
Like, you had all the top guys. The only guy that seemed like on these boards that wasn't there was our man, we just talked about, Kennedy Chandler. And he was shining, Minot, I'm speaking of, was shining in that thing. So I think it gives you some sort of indication. I will say, to your point on Duren, like, he's number four on Matt Babcock's big board over at basketballnews.com, and number four in Gavoni's draft for 2022. Like, there's no real room to move up because he can't get past Holmgren or Banchero.
Right. Maybe Hardy.
Or is it Banchero?
I think it's Banchero.
He can't get past Banchero and Holmgren, and so it's just really Hardy. And everybody, almost to a man, has got Hardy in that third-place spot.
Yep.
So really, though, I mean, it's sort of like we talked about with Wiseman. There's no real room to move other than just to go down. There's no real room to go up. So that'll be the challenge for Memphis is keeping him in that spot. I think it looks like, from what we heard from Gavoni and now Matt, it sounds like he's positioned, at least here in the preseason, to be there. Right? Now he's just got to go out and do and show the motor off in the regular season, put up the numbers they all expect Jalen to have easily this season just because of that physical size, and you should be there in that top five. Hopefully he doesn't lose any ground.
Yeah. We've talked about this before, you know, if you are trying to act like there aren't questions about the guard play, like you're
he was real on them on the guard play.
But
whole point guard by committee approach.
You know, if you look at I believe there were three Elite Eight teams last year who you would say did not have your traditional one lead guard, right? And those teams were USC, Arkansas, and I can't remember the other, but there were three of the eight.
Well, I mean, who was Houston's? Oh, you're talking about who did have one?
Yeah.
The team you're naming.
No, who did not. You would say Giroux was their guy, though. You would say Giroux kind of set up their offense.
I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm counting Dejan as their guy.
Yeah, that dude was no elite point guard, though.
He was a great player.
He was an athlete playing point guard who did a hell of a job for them at it. But that wasn't some studly point guard like Suggs.
Yeah, like Oregon State was the other. Oregon State didn't have like some. They had a great player in the Anderson kid, but he was not a point guard. They didn't have some great point guard. So my point is to say all that is to say you can absolutely get deep into the tournament without, you know, your typical. And Michigan had Eli Brooks, but like he wasn't that good. Eli Brooks was not that good. You know. Yes, UCLA had Tiger Campbell. Gonzaga had Ajayi. And those guys, and then we know Baylor had Davion Mitchell. So when it's nut cutting time, yes, you definitely need that dude. But
when it was nut cutting time, it was Suggs that had the ball in his hand.
Yeah, Suggs as well. Exactly. Yes, no, you're exactly right. Suggs. You need that guy. But you can get to the Elite Eight easily without having that quote unquote guy.
Well, my whole thing is, remember, Derrick Rose was a point guard, and it still took some time when you put him with what was already a pretty good product.
Yep.
Like, it's going to take time, especially for a reclassified guy that, in this case, is not naturally point guard. It's going to take time.
Yep,
and
it is.
It may look like, for a while, it's not going to work. And then you may go to something else mid-season, and that doesn't work so well either, to where you go back to Imani Bates by the time you're talking about tournament and all that, and they get it figured out. Now, what's clear is, look, Alo has not been that guy who could be the answer for them year after year at that position.
Right, we know.
We've gotten that to this point now.
We have our answer on Alo.
So much so that you're throwing Imani at it right now,
yep.
and they have not had that guy.
Yep.
And so, again, when a team pressures, when Houston says, you know what, this is the only flaw we see right now, so let's, you know, the only question about him, so let's pressure him full court, try to get that ball out of Imani's hands, see if he can handle it. Do you have that guy who can come in at that point and be the ball handler and settle things down? Is it Alo? Is it somebody else? Everybody's talking about how Timberlake is a setup guy. Can he handle it? I at this point with that size, I don't know either. It's that is fair. In terms of guard play, and you're if that's the thing you're looking at with Memphis and saying, you got to go prove it to me, yeah. Because we've all, you know, even Cody will say it, point guard by committee, Cody Toppert. And so that means you don't have a full-time one that there are no questions about.
Yep.
So that remains the key going into the season. And, again, this could be something that, you know, takes two steps back to take a step forward and all that throughout the year. That may not be get figured out for a while. What was it that year, too, where he ended up putting Tyreek at point?
That was 2008-09, yeah.
Yeah, early they were struggling there trying to figure things out.
4-3 or something like that, uh-huh. And then Tyreek was off the ball, they moved him on the ball, and it changed the entire season.
Mm-hmm. So, it takes time to get things figured out up there, especially when you're going in with questions. But
that would be why you would hedge on the 31 total wins, right? That would be the
argument. And I would think
hedge.
It would affect you more at the beginning, John, than the end.
Yes.
But like you said, with this, the way the schedule is set up, I don't think necessarily, the point guard decision is going to cost you, you know, against St. Louis.
Right.
You know, there's too much talent otherwise.
Very, very
in so many other places. You can beat them up inside everywhere else.
Anyway, thanks to Matt Babcock for joining us on the show today. We'll come back, wrap this thing up here on a Wednesday. Memphis Madness is to night. Today in baseball, Game 5 of the NLDS, Dodgers-Giants.
We pressure on them Dodgers.
Well, I thought it was a great win for them last night. I thought it was
the season alive.
Terrific victory for them. You're going to have a battle on the mound. This Logan Webb kid?
Yeah.
Buddy. He had some nasty stuff the other night.
Shout out to our Braves listeners. We got a lot of Braves fans who listen in this market.
Congrats, like Austin Riley.
Yeah, I mean,
they get the dub. They're moving on.
Moved on.
They are moving on. Julio Urias is going to be on the mound for the Dodgers tonight, as well as Logan Webb for the Giants. Yeah, what the guy have, like 20 wins in the regular?
Urias is good. Yeah, good pitcher.
He is a beast.
They're loaded, though. They should win.
The Dodgers or the Giants?
The Dodgers. Both teams are loaded and played well this year. Obviously, the Dodgers didn't quite hit the mark, but they should be favored in this game, right?
They're the World Series favorites. They have to. I think
they miss Muncy. They miss him very badly. It's dead even, and they're both minus 110.
Oh wow!
They're both minus 110 tonight on the money line.
Who you like? You gonna bet it?
I'm not gonna bet it. If I did bet it, I hate to say it, I would have to bet against the Dodgers in this situation. This Logan Webb kid, man, he's unflappable. Oh. He's only 24 years old, but he had some of the nastiest stuff. I mean, it's in San Francisco.
That helps.
I think the magic is working for the Giants tonight.
That would represent failure for the Dodgers.
It would, but they're missing Muncy, though. They're missing their biggest hitter, their best power hitter, and I think it's affected them, you know?
No.
The Giants were the best team in the regular season in baseball.
Yeah, that's a credit to the Giants, and they did it with a much lower payroll.
The
pressure's on the Dodgers.
I was also upset that Houston advanced past the White Sox. I was rooting for those White Sox, actually, and because I'm not a Houston guy for obvious reasons. But
them folks like to cheat.
And they were stealing signs again there.
Yeah.
That was the
accusation.
Did you
see what LaRusse's idea was? He said, maybe they should just have the guy at second turn around to center field. I'm like, bro.
Take that ill, Tony.
Come on, Tony.
Should be a great night of baseball tonight.
Yeah,
8:07 on TBS. I'll be locked in. If I had to bet it, it'd be on the Webb kid, man, because I saw him do some just disgusting stuff the other day. But maybe this is the game. Maybe this is the game for the Dodgers, and they can get it done. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Matt Babcock for joining us on the show today. Thanks, of course, to Mark Giannotto for hopping on in studio today as well. They're up next. Giannotto and Jeffrey, don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.